Before we get into today's episode, I want to share a timely free resource with you. When you look at the headlines, war, instability, constant talk about the end times, it's easy to feel anxious or unsure what to think. But the Bible offers a better way. Our short guide, Watchful, Not Worried, End Times, the Second Coming, and How to Read the News with Biblical Hope, will help you understand what Scripture really says about the end times, so you can live with clarity, hope, and confidence instead of fear. You'll discover how to read the news through the lens of Scripture, avoid speculation, and stay grounded in God's bigger story. Download your free copy today at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources.
If you follow Jesus, you're already doing God's work, not just on Sundays or in church, but in those emails and financial reports, at kitchen tables or on the school run. I'm pastor and author Tom Nelson, and in my new podcast, God's Work, we're going to completely change how you think about your job. So step into my office for some weekly workplace wisdom. Search God's Work with Tom Nelson on Premiere Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show. I am absolutely delighted to be joined by David Bates, a Brit living in the US who is one of the hosts of the absolutely fantastic Pints with Jack podcast. David, this may have not been something that you come across in your research, but do you know if we know much about how C.S. Lewis himself would have celebrated Christmas?
I went looking for this and I contacted Dr. Hal Poe because he wrote a trilogy of books that go into ridiculous detail about Lewis's life from his early life all the way through to his death. And he pointed me in the direction of some sources which tell us about a Christmas dinner in Malvern in 1947. And so in addition to the traditional turkey, Warney, Lewis's brother, he cooked boiled potatoes, Brussels sprouts, soup, and a pudding. And I love this bit. They enjoyed two bottles of Burgundy, one of Commanderia, and one half bottle of gin. So it sounds like they had a great time that day.
I wanted to be invited to that party.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. And in 1942, Lewis's future wife, Joy Davidman, she came for Christmas. This was her first time in England. And she came to the Kilns for Christmas. And we got a letter that she sent to Chad Walsh where she described it as an enormous turkey and Burgundy from the Magdalen College, Oxford cellars to go with it. And this is very joy when you read the next bit. I stole a wine glassful and put it in the gravy. And the Lewis brothers thought this was practically, you know, treacherous barbarity until they tasted the gravy. And Joy actually returned for Christmas the next year, but this time with her sons. And Douglas Gresham reports being quite disappointed when he met Lewis because he thought he was meeting someone who knew King Edmund of Narnia. And he was this sort of scruffy-looking farmer person that he met instead.
That is brilliant. And I guess, you know, you've mentioned multiple drinks that Lewis would have consumed over Christmas, but do you think he would have perhaps had a favourite Christmas delicacy or tipple, or do we just not know?
I know he definitely liked sherry, and we have a message, an email from Walter Hooper confirming that he was sent out by Lewis to buy some of this. This is Vat 69. It's a blended whiskey, which I brought back from England and opened up for the C.S. Lewis Reading Day. And it's rather nice.
Well, there we go. If anyone...
It's also lubricating my throat because I have a slightly sore throat. So I'm taking it purely for medicinal purposes.
I wish you could pass it to me through the computer because I also have a sore throat. But if anyone's unsure what to drink this Christmas and wants to toast C.S. Lewis, then Vat 69, that's the
That's the tipple for Lewis. David, you have previously read bits of really interesting commentary on Christmas, both in fictional form, but also in sort of prose form that Lewis has written about. Do you think in light of some of those things that he wrote and perhaps some of the things that he thought, but maybe never put to paper, he would have any advice about how we could survive the festive season, I suppose, in a 21st century context that, by the sounds of it, was actually not that different from the context within which Lewis himself was working and writing and operating in?
Yeah, when you read Lewis, he often sounds prophetic, and the things he's complaining about, you read them and you think, oh, if you could have only have got to our time and you've seen how much worse things get. I think Lewis's main piece of advice would be not to get caught up in the Christmas rush, as he often calls it. At the essay that I mentioned before, What Christmas Means to Me, he ends by saying, but can it really be my duty to buy and receive masses of junk every winter just to help shopkeepers? If the worst comes to the worst, I'd sooner give them the money for nothing and write it off as charity. For nothing? Why? Better for nothing than for a nuisance. So I think his chief piece of advice would be, don't get caught up in that rat race of things that you feel that you should be doing for Christmas. And maybe put Christ back in Christmas. That's the common expression. And there's a hilarious story he recounts in one of his letters, where his brother had a woman on the bus say, as the bus passed a church with a crib outside, they said, oh, they bring religion to everything. Look, they're dragging it even to Christmas now. so maybe Lewis's advice would be to focus on the religious season. By all means, be merry, be joyful, but don't feel compelled to do all of the things which society tells you that you must do.
Do you think he would be a big fan of the way that churches seem to use Christmas as perhaps a way of inviting people in?
If you've ever struggled to fully understand the New Testament or explain your faith with confidence, you're not alone. That's exactly why Premier Insight exists and why your support matters right now. When you give today, we'll send you a special thank you gift, the New Testament You Never Knew Bible Study Guide by N.T. Wright. It will help you understand the context, meaning, and story of Scripture more clearly. And your support helps others do the same through programs like this. So please give your best gift today and request your copy. Just go to premierinsight.org/cslewis. Thank you for helping people engage God's Word with wisdom and understanding.
If you follow Jesus, you're already doing God's work, not just on Sundays or in church, but in those emails and financial reports, the kitchen tables, or on the school run. I'm pastor and author Tom Nelson, and in my new podcast, God's Work, we're going to completely change how you think about your job. So step into my office for some weekly workplace wisdom. Search God's Work with Tom Nelson on Premiere Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
That would perhaps never darken the church door in a normal situation. Would he be open to the way that churches are kind of inviting people in this season?
I would think so. I mean, he recognized the de-churching of England in his time, and it's only got much worse since then. But yet, Christmas and Easter, and often also Ash Wednesday, these are days when people who normally won't enter a church, they will still turn up. And Lewis, with the heart of an evangelist that he always had, I think he would definitely endorse the capitalization on those moments when people step into a church and can hear the gospel and encounter Christian fellowship. And I think he'd encourage us not to waste those moments, as is, I'm afraid, often done in churches when you have people turning up who haven't been there since the last major festival. And that they can still quite happily go through their life and not hear the gospel and not hear the call to come to Christ and really grasp the difference that Christ makes.
I wonder how, he obviously preached at various points. I wonder whether he was ever invited to preach at a Christmas service or, at carol service or something like that. That would be a good one.
Yeah, I don't think any of the addresses that we've got are at Christmas. I don't know his addresses that well in terms of the details of the dates when they were preached, but learning in wartime, that was following the outbreak of World War One, I think, or maybe World War Two. And I mean, obviously, his real classic sermon, It's the Weight of Glory. Probably one of the best pieces that he ever penned. Probably one of the best sermons ever preached, since one was preached by a carpenter on a mountain. But that's a wonderful example of the kind of message that Lewis communicated, reminding us that the people that we sit next to in pews, people that we deal with each day, one day they're going to become either something truly glorious or monstrous, and it's our job to help them reach their glorious end. And just to remind us that everyone that we work with and play with and talk to, that they are the holiest thing presented to our senses. And he says, other than the Blessed Sacrament, these are the holiest things that we see day in, day out. I think that's a really, really great gateway into presenting the gospel, to tell the story of a God who, the infinite, almighty, powerful God, became a little baby in an effort to redeem a fallen human nature, that he humbled himself, as Philippians says, taking the form of a servant and being obedient unto death, death on a cross. And that this isn't the end of the story, that God raised him, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow.
Yeah, and he encourages us, doesn't he, that like we've got a better story to tell. And it feels like actually Christmas is a brilliant opportunity to encourage people that in a world that seems sort of more and more hopeless, that there is a better story. This isn't the end of the story. I guess, as it says, you know, in The Last Battle, that this is just the title page of an amazing story that goes on and on forever. David, as we're coming to the end of this podcast, I know lots of my friends will use Christmas as a time to take a little bit of time off and perhaps do some reading. For lots of my friends, the Narnia Chronicles is a must reread over the Christmas period. Is there anything that you like to read over Christmas, particularly of Lewis's works, that, you know, where there's a little bit more time, perhaps amidst the chaos, but just to stop and think and perhaps reread something that you've read before?
Yes, well, definitely The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Read the book, watch the movie, and it's a Christmas movie, just like Die Hard. The essays that I've mentioned, they're in God in the Dock, So What Christmas Means to Me and A Lost Chapter from Herodotus. If someone's got the copy of Miracles, the chapter The Grand Miracle, the one that speaks about the Incarnation, a great read. And actually, Lewis wrote an introduction to a translation of On the Incarnation by St. Athanasius. It was done by his friend Sister Penelope, who was an Anglican nun. And both Athanasius's essay on the Incarnation and Lewis's introductory essay, both well worth anyone's time. And also, if I can mention something that's Lewis adjacent, Lewis's friend, Dorothy L. Sayers, she wrote The Man Born to be King. And it's a wonderful dramatization of the life of Christ. And that's also just a great place to start.
You can absolutely mention Lewis's friends. We're all about Lewis's friends. David, thank you so much. It's been so insightful. And I wish you and your family a very, very Merry Christmas.
Likewise. And I'm going to endeavour to make sure that I've got a post up on pintswithjack.com/Xmas, where I'll have all of the things that I've referenced spelt out and links to the book. So if someone does want to dive into some Lewis this Christmas, it'll be very, very easy.
Oh, well, that's incredibly helpful. And I will make sure that I have that link at the bottom of this podcast as well, so that people can do that really, really quickly. But yeah, do head over to Pints with Jack for anything you want. Honestly, if I ever want to know anything about Lewis, I just go straight onto your website, because I know it will be there. There's such a helpful timeline. It's got all of his works. There's loads of really good interviews. I mean, I'm doing myself out of a job here, but definitely go to Pints with Jack, because there's so much great information about Lewis and particularly Christmas. So thank you so much, David.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. A very Merry Christmas and wishing you a really happy New Year. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources and podcasts. And do register there for the chance to win a free book. That's premierunbelievable.com. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
If you follow Jesus, you're already doing God's work, not just on Sundays or in church, but in those emails and financial reports, kitchen tables or on the school run. I'm pastor and author Tom Nelson, and in my new podcast, God's Work, we're going to completely change how you think about your job. So step into my office for some weekly workplace wisdom. Search God's Work with Tom Nelson on Premiere Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.